In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord has ascended into heaven, and He has left His last will and testament, if you will, for the apostles and for the rest of mankind. When Christ came to this earth, He preached a doctrine that was revolutionary, if you will. It was a political revolutionist. And He often spoke in parables because it was not yet time for Him to die. He hid His meaning from those whom He was speaking about. But He spoke in such a way that those whom He was criticizing knew that they were the ones being attacked. And very often He had to pull the apostles aside and explain to them exactly what the parables meant. But now He's laid it all out very clear for us. Before He ascended into heaven, He makes it very clear to the apostles the Holy Ghost is going to come and they will understand. The words of Christ are at odds with the ways of the world. They have been since mankind fell. And when Christ came, they had reached such a fever pitch that even those who claimed to be worshiping God became the most offensive to Him. And I think history seems to have made a complete 360 degrees. We're right back where we started. We live in a political realm now under the guise of peace, under the attempt to get everyone to live in charity, to love one another, not to criticize anyone else. It has become taboo for us to condemn evil now. You can't say anything about any particular group or person or race, religion, gender. You can't say anything negative about anyone without incurring the wrath of the censors. And that we want to establish all these hate laws. And on the surface, it all looks very good. We should not criticize anyone. We shouldn't condemn anyone. That makes them feel bad. And we want everyone to be happy. We want everyone to be at peace. And if you speak out, then you are the evil one. You are the one who should be punished. You are the one who should be locked up. When Christ came and He began to condemn the evils of the scribes and the Pharisees, to condemn the evil all around Him, they immediately began to seek ways. We must silence this man. What can we do with him? And today, the scribes and Pharisees want to point to Christ. You see, He was all loving. He was all compassionate. We see Christ who forgave Mary Magdalene and all her sins. We see Him forgiving sinners all over the place, one after the other. Why then did the scribes and Pharisees hate Him so? Because the evil that He condemned applied to them. He condemned the evil of the sinners, the woman caught in adultery. He did not condone her adultery. On the contrary, He tells her to go and sin no more. He forgives the sins and He sends them away. He says, sin no more. The scribes and Pharisees did not come repentant. They did not come remorseful. They came filled with their own pride, filled with self-justification, self-righteousness. And our Lord, without hesitation, says that they are children of the devil. They are a brood of vipers. Children of Satan that will end up in the depths of hell. And for this they could not pardon him. For this they could not forgive. It is better that this one man should die and that this nation should be saved, that our way of life should be preserved. They never ask whether our way of life is worth being preserved. It's just what we've grown accustomed to. This is what we like and we don't want to change. And this man is rocking the boat. So let's kick the man off the boat so that we can get back to the way things always were. We can have some kind of peace again. Granted, it's a demonic peace, but it's a peace. And we know exactly what they did to Christ because he stood up and condemned them. And I venture to say that the same thing is awaiting us. The scribes and Pharisees have entered our governments, not just the United States, but the whole world. But particularly here in the United States, they want to pass hate crimes, hate laws, where it becomes now a crime for you to criticize, to question anything that these Talmudists who call themselves Jews do. That's terrible. You should be imprisoned for that because that's hate. That's inciting hate. It's inciting riot. To speak the truth is now hateful. To stand up and condemn adultery, fornication, and say that these people are going to go to hell, that's not very charitable. These poor people don't know what they're doing. Look, Christ forgave the adulterer. Christ forgave the adulterer that was repentant. Christ stood before all of mankind and he said, "What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." And all those who go around divorcing and remarrying are guilty of adultery. He says that's the way it was right from the beginning. He didn't have to condemn the Sodomites because that was already condemned. It was already obvious. But today, if you stand up and condemn the Sodomites, in case you don't know what Sodomites are, they call themselves today gay and lesbians. We have a euphemism for everything. You're guilty of a hate crime. What did they do to you? It's a victimless crime. The prostitution. All these perversions, they're, quote, victimless crimes. They're not victimless. They're damning themselves to hell and they're scandalizing everyone else. They're leading our children into the depths of corruption, into the depths of hell. But if you stand up and condemn them, you are the evil one. You are the one who is inciting hate. You are the one being unchristian or expounding upon what Christ has made clear to us. That this is an evil and that they must cease their evil. They must repent. They must begin to lead a life of virtue if they're going to be acceptable to God. If they want peace, if they want right order. If you stand up and condemn the poor girl who had an abortion, how cruel you are, how heartless you are. inciting hate against this poor girl, this poor child who suffered so terribly. No one gives a thought to the little child that has just been murdered. If you speak of that little child that has been murdered, you're the one who's hateful. If you have the least compassion for the unborn, you're inciting hate. How dare you? The world is going to stand up and point their finger at those who represent Christ and what He said, the right order, and they're going to condemn them. And they will find a way to make it illegal for you to stand up and say the truth. It is now a hate crime for you to stand up and say, "Sodomites are evil. They should not be allowed to profess openly their lifestyle. They should not be allowed to flaunt it in front of our faces. They should not be allowed to put it in front of our TVs, on our billboards. This should be illegal." How dare you? You want to impose upon their freedoms? You're un-American. You're the one who should be silenced. You're the one who should have your right to freedom of speech taken away. You're the one who should have your freedom of assembly removed. You're the one who should have your freedoms taken away and be cast into prison. And eventually you're the one who should sacrifice your life, because you're rocking the boat of society. Everything was going along just fine until you got up and said, "These sodomites should not be doing this. These abortionists should not be doing this. This is evil. This is wrong. These adulterers should not be divorcing and remarrying." Pick any evil you want. "These bankers should not be robbing the people." You're inciting hate. That should be a crime. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. We're only free to expound the evils, the perversities. Not that which is good, not that which is wholesome, not that which will save. Christ has told us very clearly, "You see what they have done to me? What can you expect if you are my disciples? How do you think the world is going to treat you if you stand up and preach the same thing that I have preached to you?" Nothing has changed. If you stand up and condemn all the false religions as Christ stood up and condemned the scribes and Pharisees, they will connive and arrange it so that the civil authority will have you arrested and put to death, that you will be persecuted. They've done it to me. You can expect them to do the same to you. This is what Christ has told us before He ascended into heaven. Don't be scandalized. Don't be shocked. If the world has hated me, it's going to hate you. But if you love me, then you will not concern yourself with what the world thinks of you. If you love me, you will keep my word. You will keep my commandments. You will keep my law. Because it's not Christ, it's His Father who sent Him. Nothing has really changed. The only thing that has truly susceptible of change as us as individuals. We are the ones who must convert. We are the ones who must have our eyes opened and begin to see what God sees so plainly. The scales must fall from our eyes, and we must recognize all this worldly perversity around us and the evil that it truly is, and not remain silent anymore. The early Christians could not remain silent. Saint Paul could not remain silent. He had to stand up and speak. He had to stand up and condemn. Point out to the scribes and Pharisees what they have done, how evil they truly are. And we're going to have to do the same. We have to stand up, if not by words, at least by our actions, by the way we live, and point out to the rest of the world that the way they're living is not right. The fornicating children are not okay. It's not all right. They're not just free to go and sow their wild oats while they're young. The sodomites are not okay. The murdering of our unborn children is not okay. The robbing of our banking system is not okay. The corruption in our politics is not okay. The poisoning of our bodies by the pharmaceuticals is not okay. Our bodies have been given to us by God. Our lives have been given to us by God. They are sacred. They are holy. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. There is no room for this defilement, this corruption in our bodies, in our lives. And if we have any concern for our fellow man, we're forced to point out to them the same thing. I preach to you, I admonish you, not because I want you to go to hell. I don't condemn evil because I want these people to go to hell. I don't condemn the poor little girl who got pregnant and wants to abort her child because I hate her, because I want to send her to hell. I condemn the abortion because it is evil, and I want that person to repent of the evil. I want them to return to God. I want them to open their eyes and to shed tears for their crimes. I want the fornicators, the adulterers, to come to our Lord's feet weeping like Mary Magdalene. I want them to be saved. And this was the motive of Christ. This was the motive of His apostles. It was not one of hate. But it is this inversion of right order, this evil society that sees love, true charity, as evil, as hatred. And that which is truly hatred, that which is truly evil, the world, the society condones that, says this is good, this is holy, this is acceptable. I've often thought of those poor souls in purgatory. Especially now in the Novus Ordo, when someone dies, the first thing they tell you that your friend, your neighbor, your relative is now in heaven. They're walking with Jesus. Everything is okay. You don't need to pray for their souls any longer. They're in heaven. They've been canonized already. We don't pray for them. We pray to them because now they can help us. They're in heaven. And if we just stop and think about this for a rational moment, what if they're in purgatory suffering miserably, awaiting our aid, our help, awaiting our prayers for their intercession, awaiting the sacrifices that we can make here and now to atone for their sins? They're suffering miserably while all their friends and relatives are rejoicing that they're now with Jesus. Not uttering a single prayer for them, not performing one sacrifice for their intentions, for their benefit. And yet these same people who are rejoicing say that they truly love this person, this deceased person. They truly love them. They're truly happy for them. While their poor soul is suffering in the fires of purgatory. Suffering most bitter, most painful. Separation from God that you can imagine. I venture to say that such people do not love their deceased friend or relative. They have proven themselves to be more their enemies than loved ones. I cannot think of a more cruel torture when we have it in our power to assist someone's soul. And we refuse to do so. But the person who stands up and says, no, we cannot rejoice. It is not time to celebrate. It is time to mourn. It is time to do penance. It is time to fast. It is time to pray for that deceased soul. The world looks at them and says, oh, you're cruel. What are you hating them for? Why are you making all this sad, all this dismal? When I tell you that such a person is the one who truly loves the departed soul, who truly loves those whom he is trying to give the example to, the order has been completely inverted. The one who stands up and says, no, you should not be a Sodomite. You should renounce that life. You should return to right order. The right use of your body. The world says, oh, you're terrible. You're a hate monger. When I venture to say that someone who speaks these words actually loves this person, actually loves their fellow man and wishes them nothing but the best. And the same applies to those who stand up and condemn the adulterer, the fornicators, the murderers. They don't stand up and condemn them because they hate them. They stand up and renounce this evil because they love them. Their true enemies are the ones who say, oh, keep quiet, let them do whatever they want. Let our children, whom we clearly see are on the highway to hell, running full force, just stand back and remain silent. Let them go ahead and do what they want. That's the charitable thing to do. I say that's the most evil thing you can do. It is the most hate-inspired thing you can do is to remain silent. If you really love them, you seek to stop them by any means possible. It is truly love that causes us to speak out, to reach out and try to stop the evil from being done. to try and stop those poor souls from heading into hell with everyone else remaining silent or encouraging, enticing them. But I warn you, just as Christ has warned His disciples, the moment you begin to stand out, the moment you step up to the plate and begin to speak out, motivated by true charity, is the moment they're going to begin to really hate you. And the louder you speak out, the more emphatic you become, the more hateful they are towards you. And they will even come to the state when they will reach out and want to put you in prison. They will want to kill you. They will want to do anything they can to stop you from speaking out, from waking people up. And Christ is telling us, don't become scandalized. Don't lose your faith. Don't worry about it when you're being attacked. They've done it to me, they're going to do it to you. And on the contrary, we should accept this attack in the spirit of the apostles who came forth from their scourging rejoicing. We have been found worthy to suffer these things for the name of Christ. We have been found worthy to be ostracized, to be set up, to be cast in prison, to be ridiculed, to be mocked for the love of Christ. Let us not be scandalized. Let us not be deterred from speaking the truth. But let us stand up even more boldly, without fear, without hesitation, and speak the words that Christ has given us to speak, to live the life that Christ has given us to live, to become this example to the rest of mankind. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.